This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to episode 469 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. It's me, Melissa, and I'm here with Sam to hold down the fort while everyone is enjoying some time at Walt Disney World. Hey, you Sam, got, how are you?
I am great, Melissa. Thank you so much. Everybody's got some time in Walt Disney World. That's awesome. No better place to go to get out of the northern snow and cold than go to Florida, even though sometimes it's cold when you're there. I'm just back myself from checking out the opening weekend of the Festival of the Arts, quickly becoming one of my favorite festivals. And thanks for having me. I figured we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear you tell me all about your trip. We'll talk about Festival of the Arts and some tips and tricks for Genie Plus that you tried out tonight. Yes. And, you know, as you said, the weather, I think I had like 4 or 5 inches of snow today. We had a delay. Disney sounds like a great thing to talk about today.
It does. We had a lot of rain up here. I will say, though, last weekend over the Martin Luther King holiday weekend, I went with the family for a couple of days just to get away. It happened to be the opening of Festival of Arts. I got to participate in a media event. Thank you so much, Disney. And some interesting things happening, some new things. I got a Figment popcorn bucket. Whoa.
That thing is amazing. If our listeners haven't seen a picture of one of these, I don't think it does it justice. It's huge.
It is
huge. I think it's about, what, like, is it a foot and a half, 2 feet tall?
It may be about 18 inches. It's definitely over a foot. It's pretty darn tall. For sure. Yeah, it's good size. Money. It's pretty big to carry around, by the way. And a couple of, my only downside here, it comes with that sugar-coated rainbow popcorn. I just want Magic Kingdom popcorn when I'm at Disney World. I don't want that candy stuff, but that's all right. They let me get a refill for the Figma bucket, which was a big question when I was there, actually. Can I get my refill over at Journey into Imagination? That's where the popcorn stand is, right in front there. They have some of the flavors, and they also have the fresh pop stuff. And I just wanted a refill, and they did give me a refill, the $2 refill for my Figment bucket. So there
well,
you go.
It's even better for your money then. Well, exactly. Let's get started then. I mean, let's talk about Genie Plus, because I think a lot of our listeners, it's still a little confusing.
Super confusing.
Lightning Lane, and then you add some of those virtual queues with Guardians in there. So tell me, what was your plan of attack every morning?
So you also have that. You have Genie Plus, you have Lightning Lane. And by the way, I don't know why they distinguish Genie Plus and Lightning Lane and call it two different things. It should just be the Genie Plus Lane. It shouldn't be the Lightning Lane. It just doesn't make sense to me. From a branding point of view, I think somebody messed that up. But so everyone, right, nerd, just like everybody here, most of the time I probably wouldn't be purchasing Fast Passes, right? That's kind of what we're doing here, right? But it was the family. Hadn't been down in a while. We wanted to get as much in as we possibly could. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to try this Genie Plus. We're going to see how this thing goes. We're only going to visit a couple of parks this trip. We're not going to get to Animal Kingdom, but let's make the most of it. Oh, and by the way, this whole Figment popcorn bucket that we just talked about, we had heard was going to be available via mobile ordering at an early hour in the day. So I thought, okay, we'll get up early and try this. I think, Melissa, you know, and everybody knows that to get that virtual queue for Guardians of the Galaxy or get that first Lightning Lane selection. 7 a.m. is the countdown. It's the meter. It's when you got to be logged in and you got to be swiping your phone to refresh it to go ahead and tap and say, I want that Lightning Lane. I want that Lightning Lane. So there are some early mornings involved, which I think is the only downside.
And you gave me a little bit of a tip for my upcoming trip.
Yes.
I think it starts even before that. You mentioned maybe a midnight setting on my phone that I should be looking at my Genie Plus and so my groups.
Absolutely. There's two things you could do here. One, if you're going to Epcot and you want to get that lightning, I'm sorry. See that? We're already confusing people. If you want to get to Epcot and get that virtual queue for Guardians of the Galaxy, which is you're up at 7 a.m., you have your group ready to go, you're hitting refresh. At midnight the night before, you can verify that your group is all linked. You're going into the My Disney Experience. You're hitting that hamburger button on the bottom left-hand side, the three lines. And when you're in there, you hit virtual queue. And as soon as you do that, it's going to bring up virtual queue. And if it's after midnight, it's going to allow you to verify your party for the next day. Basically making sure everybody's linked, everybody's there, everybody will be ready the next day.
Which would work really well for me. I've got 9 people in my group, 3 different hotel rooms. So making sure that I have all the right party members who have the right height requirement for that Guardians ride. I'm going to make sure I get the right amount of virtual queues for them.
I love that you say that because, look, if you guys are listening to the Disney Nerds podcast, you're probably the person that's doing what Melissa's doing, which is getting it together for the other dozen people that are in your party, right? That's what we do because we end up being that nerd. So by verifying that ahead of time in the morning at 6:55, you're not going to be panicked trying to call somebody to link them in and do those other things.
Right, and I haven't had my coffee yet.
Right.
Trying to get the right person.
I definitely did not have my coffee when I did these things in the morning because I was going back to sleep at 7:05 after I had this thing all done.
And the other thing you mentioned you could do at midnight is if my group decided we did want to pay for Genie Plus,
yes.
Right? So Genie Plus is the service that varies in price from day to day.
It does.
But that would be what we would know kind of formally as your Fast Pass Plus, where you're going to be able to get some of those queues for certain times, but you're going to pick them one at a time.
You can purchase it after midnight the day before. When I was there, it was $18 on the Friday, and it was $20 on the Saturday and the Sunday. And Genie Plus, you can get your first Lightning Lane or your first Rapid Queue attraction at 7 a.m., same time you can get in that Guardians of the Galaxy virtual queue.
And that's if you are an on-site guest.
That's if you're I was an on-site guest. I was at Riverside. I was in my room when I was doing all of the things that we're talking about here. So I was definitely a guest and had a room resort reservation tied to my account and all the people that were staying. Yes.
And the virtual queue, that is free. That's just that free option into a lottery to get for Guardians, correct?
For Guardians, that is correct. Now, there is a requirement. You have to have a park pass for Epcot to get that Guardians of the Galaxy virtual queue.
Okay.
So,
all right, so we've got our Genie Plus ordered. We've got our plan that we want to be able to get a virtual queue for Guardians, and we're going to use our Genie Plus. It's, 6:50. You've got your people all queued up. What did you do, Sam?
Okay, so it's 6:55. I got up the first day because I was not going right to the virtual queue. I instead was going to the mobile order part of Genie. Just like you were ordering food inside, mobile food orders, go to Epcot, and in Epcot was the souvenir bucket Figment that you could order mobile order at 6:45 a.m. I don't know when that started, but at 6:45 a.m., I selected two of them. I got my return window, which was 11 a.m., said yes, and it charged me $50, $2 per bucket, and I had two buckets waiting for me at 11 o'clock, and I was done by 6:47. So that was pretty quick. So I actually like this. It's a play on what they did for Mr. Toad over at Magic Kingdom, the Mr. Toad Wild Ride bucket. Same thing. You had to go back to Storybook Circus, and you ordered it there. I will say that this bucket was available throughout the day. So you didn't have to get up at 7 a.m. to purchase it. When I walked in at 10, it was available. When I walked in at noon, it was available. I couldn't order it because I already purchased two, and that's all you can get. Can't get any more. And it's probably the way that it should be. So I had my bucket ready to roll.
You mentioned the bucket was, it's fairly big, fairly heavy.
It is big.
And that does have an edit feature, as I was following along with your instructions, that I could actually move that time to a different time that was maybe more convenient for me, maybe the end of the day.
Absolutely. Just like picking up food. You can change your return time to pick up your burger at Casey's or your hot dog at Casey's. You can push that back. So yes, you can pick your return time to be 8 p.m. and you don't have to walk around with that thing all day. Now I have kids that want to walk around with it all day because it's, but then they're riding guardians. Who's going to hold this thing while they're riding?
Well, dad, of course.
That's my point. You got it, Melissa. That's exactly right. All right. So 657 buckets purchased. I am now in the virtual queue area of the app and I'm have my party selected. I'm hitting refresh. And boy, is it just, that's 659 and you just keep flipping your finger down to refresh it, to refresh it, to refresh it. And it seems like it's forever for that last minute to kick by and then join the virtual queue. Everybody's pre-selected because you've already verified your party. Select, boom, you're in. 2 days I did it. 2 days I was in boarding group 70. I don't know if there's a coincidence there or not, but that was right at 7 a.m. And it kicks right back and says you have a 535 minute wait estimated or something like that. Either way, getting the 7 a.m. virtual queue, we were riding before 1 p.m. So 12:30, 1 o'clock. That's not bad, right? That's no, about what you want because I'm going back to sleep. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. So
you're not going to get your mini waffles.
I'm doing that later, like at 9 o'clock.
Or oh, maybe 9 10. O'clock. Okay.
Yeah. So at that point, my buckets are ordered and I have the virtual queue for Guardians. So now it's into the Genie Plus section. So this is the bad part, right? You're bouncing around this app quite a bit, right? Because we went from the virtual queue to the mobile order, and now we're going back into the My Genie Day. So in that hamburger menu again, the tip board will show you what's available. Make sure in the right park because you can change park, switch it over to Epcot or whatever the park you need. You scan through and you're going to see the Genie Plus return times that are listed. Now, what I will say, every park seems to have that one attraction that is gone within the first 10 minutes, sort of like that old Fast Pass everybody wanted. So at Epcot, it's Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. It's Slink Dog at Studios. It's Peter Pan at Magic Kingdom. So over at Animal Kingdom, I'm not sure what the first one would be. What would you grab at Animal Kingdom first?
I would say it'd probably be Safari.
Probably Safari. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, because it's such a family-friendly ride, and people want to get on it early in the day.
I would guess that as well. And while we're on the topic, let me mention that in addition to everything I just talked about, you can also purchase an individual lightning lane for one attraction in any park at that same time at 7 a.m. This is the one that's going to cost more. At Magic Kingdom, that is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. One day we were there, it was $11. At Epcot, it is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. Now I'll step back a second. If you don't get the virtual queue, you missed it, you still have the opportunity to purchase an individual lightning lane for Guardians. A little bit confusing, but that's the way it works. At Studios, it is Rise of Resistance, of course, is the one you pay for. And at Animal Kingdom, it is Pandora Flight of Passage, the individual. So either pay extra for them or you wait in line. That's the way those
go. And I think we're anticipating Magic Kingdom to switch up in a couple of months with the Tron coming online. So we're expecting that Tron will probably become that virtual queue with an individual lightning lane like we see with Guardians today. But that won't be until March, April.
Yeah, and that'd be something that would be interesting to watch because would Guardians no longer be virtual queue and just be individual?
And that's what they've done in the past. They've typically only had one virtual queue going at a time because Remy was the same way Guardians came.
It went from Star Wars Rise of Resistance to Remy and over. Yep. It was never two at a time. It
seems that it's just one ride. But who knows, maybe they've increased their server capacity or their ability to have more than one virtual option. We'll have to see.
I get it.
But more than likely, you know, if you're going, if you're traveling later this year, just be aware you might need to be flexible with that Magic Kingdom day.
Yes. And you'll see this one ahead of time. Now, so I immediately went in and grabbed Remy's Ratatouille Adventure on the first day. And I had my Lightning Lane ready for a 2 p.m. return. Not bad, right? Because Guardians is about 1 and Remy's at 2. All right. At this point, I'm going back to sleep. I'll be up later. Because 2 hours after the park opens, you can get your second Lightning Lane selection. Just like the old paper fast passes. Remember, a paper fast pass, you'd get it. And if you used it, you could get another one. Or if the wait time was longer than 2 hours, you could get another one in 2 hours. Sort of the same philosophy. So in reality, when you purchase Genie, you purchased at least one Lightning Lane every 2 hours for the length of the day. It's interesting when you think about it that way. So 7 a.m., and if a park's open till midnight, I can get one at 7. Then I can get one 2 hours after the park opens. Let's say, for the sake of Epcot, Epcot opened at 8. So you can get your next one at 10. Then you can get one at noon. You can get one at 2. You can get one at 4. You can get one at 6. Unless you use it, then you can get it sooner. So what I was able to do was start to stack these Lightning Lane selections on top of each other. So while we were still at the resort, we were looking through Festival of Arts, which we'll get to in a minute. You're able to add Test Track. You're able to add Soarin'. The only one I couldn't get was Frozen because that was gone. But my kids are older. They didn't want, right? So that, and that's kind of the thing that you're through here. What do you think will be gone? What won't? And of course, the figments and the spaceship Earths later in the day, they don't matter anyway, but you can jump those in there as well. The one thing to remember, you can only get each attraction one time. That's it. Just one time. Once you ride it, you're done. Go on to something else.
I think that's a perfect Genie Plus Lightning Lane virtual queue 101 for anyone
visiting.
And it's
still damn confusing.
And it is. It is 100% still confusing. And so next I want to ask you for that, like, you know, senior level class in Genie Plus, because you did something pretty interesting where you decided to park hop and purposely push some of your return times for your Genie Plus later in the day so that you could have time at Epcot in the morning and enjoy Festival of the Arts and go and visit Hollywood Studios and have a bunch of Genie Pluses stacked up ready and waiting for you at Hollywood Studios. So how did you do that?
That's exactly what we did. And here's the realization and sort of the test I wanted to go through. When you're buying Genie, you're buying Genie for Walt Disney World, not for the park that you're in. Even later in the day, if you go into the app and go to My Genie Day, you can switch to Magic Kingdom and wow, I'm standing in Epcot, but there's a Lightning Lane for Big Thunder that I can get. You could do that. So once you come to that realization, the test was this. I have a park pass for Epcot, because that was the big question. I have a park pass for Epcot. I plan to go to Festival of the Arts. I plan to walk around World Showcase, talk to the artists, which I think is the best part of Festival of Arts. We'll talk about that in a second. But at the same time, I want to get Genie Plus for Studios because I'm going to hop and Skyliner over to Studios. At 7 a.m., I got up. I decided, all right, I have a park pass for Epcot. I know I'm going there. So I'm going to jump in and get my virtual queue for Guardians, which I did. Got it. Boarding group 70 again. Then I jumped over to Studios and got my Genie Plus for Slinky Dog Dash, which came back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because at this point it's maybe 5 after 7. That's how quickly they went, right? So it's 5 after 7. I got my virtual queue and the amount of time it took me to jump over into the other part of the app, go to Genie Plus, go to Slink Dog. My Lightning Lane return time was 4:30. Okay, fine. No problem. Kind of cool. So then go back to sleep, get to Epcot later. 2 hours after Epcot opens, I was able to get Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway for the afternoon. We're still in Epcot walking around. 2 hours after that, I was able to get Rock and Roller Coaster few hours after that, we're ready to get on the Skyliner to head over to studios, because we've ridden Guardians of the Galaxy and we also walked around World Showcase. While we're on the Skyliner, I was able to get Toy Story Mania. So this is getting pretty good. I'm walking into studios with four lightning lanes ready to be used. Slinky Dog, Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. I mean, that's not bad.
And you got a pretty good sample of Hollywood Studios right there.
That's a good sample. And the only thing that was longer was Tower Terror. I couldn't get that one because that one, it just wasn't going to fit. And you have to pay for Rise of Resistance. I was able to, after we rode, we rode the three, because they were all kind of overlapping in times. We rode three, came back to Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway. After we scanned in for that, I was able to grab Star Tours. Kind of cool. All right. So now we're sitting on Star Tours. You hit Star Tours. So you can get to most of them. Then my test, I didn't do it, but my test was, all right, let's look at Magic Kingdom. And yes, there were a bunch of lightning lanes available at Magic Kingdom that I could have grabbed and jumped on a bus and went to Magic Kingdom and used. So you can get your money's worth out of this, right? $18, you know, we just talked about five or six different. I mean, if you're getting six of them for $20, that math's a little better.
Well, it's better than an individual lightning lane, which you still could have had the option if you wanted.
Could have still done that.
Right? If Rise of the Resistance was important to you, you could have added that on right at 7 a.m. and had that pushed out to later in the day. To have that ready for you.
That's exactly right. And so the one caution when you push it out later, when you go in and you hit change, you can change the lightning lane, which is a new feature they added here recently. When you hit change, you can change the attraction or you can change the time. So just getting it is the key, right? Get it at 2 hours and change it later if you need to. But when you hit change time, it's going to be based on the current time available. So if your original pass was for 3 p.m., you go in and hit change time, it might be 7 p.m. It might not be just an hour later. It depends on what's happening.
Sure.
So that's for a late arrival in the park. The flip side of this, the early arrivals, after that two-hour window and getting that one you want, you use one and then immediately get another one and immediately get another one and immediately get another one and just go the attraction to attraction, attraction. The only problem with that is you might lose some of the attractions that run out that are just gone.
Right. Yep. There's always that chance as well.
But I did it. I here's the other thing I realized, Melissa, at one point in when I went back to sleep after buying two popcorn buckets, buying Genie Plus, and buying an individual lightning lane. I'm going, how much money did I just spend before, you know, 7, 10 a.m.? But
it's so dangerous when the card is just linked to my Disney experience and you're like, yep, just click, click.
It is click, click.
One of the things you mentioned while we were getting ready for the show and you're kind of talking about your vacation, you had the Figment pulled up and showing it through where you would do mobile order. And mobile order for some who don't know is where you can actually pre-order your food. And when we say pre-order, you could be laying in bed at 7:10 a.m.
It was there.
And you'd be asking everybody, what do you want for lunch? You know, later, this is where we're going to eat. And I actually have that plan in February. We have a big group, like I said, with 9 people.
Yeah.
And I know where we're going to be eating dinner. As our quick service option. And so just having that ability, we've done this before, to say, this is where we're going. I want to know what you want to eat. Here's the menu while everyone's relaxed, not tired, grumpy, whatever. And we just put the order through. We say roughly when we think it will be that we'll eat. And we can always change the return window if we, you know, decide to do something different, but then it's just done. And I thought that was, you know, it's a good idea if your family can plan that way.
Yeah.
That you just have that done.
Idea. Then you know what time you're going to get it too. And I didn't realize that until I went in for the Figment bucket. I went into Epcot and, oh, how about that? I can order from any of these places right now, even Magic Kingdom.
Right.
It's a different mentality. I don't like getting up at that hour to have to do those things, but we did get value out of it.
For sure. And you know what? I don't miss having to run around in the Florida sun grabbing fast passes though.
This is true.
Because this is what it reminds me of. You made that connection. It's just in a virtual space
versus a
physical ticket. But otherwise it functions very similar.
It's very much like that was. And that's why anybody that's done this before, although I wasn't the one running, I had younger children that would be the ones running. Here's everybody's ticket, run over to test track. But dad, we're in United Kingdom. You want me to go to test? Oh, sorry. Go get them.
I was that kid. Yep. 13 tickets later.
Well, and that's it. And now you're doing it all virtually, kind of the same.
Right. So kind of changing gears here, you mentioned going to Festival of the Arts,
yes,
spending quite a Festival bit of time there at Epcot. And it's one of my favorite festivals. It's only been going on for what, five? I think this is the fifth.
I think this is the sixth year. I think this is the sixth year. It's the culinary arts, visual arts, performing arts. It's really cool that the way that they've tied it together, and it's gotten bigger. And I tell you what, I just walking around World Showcase and talking to the artists. Right, these people are there, and they're usually in their studios doing things, and they get to talk to people, and they love it. And if you ask them about what they're painting, you know, what is it? What's the inspiration? It's amazing the stories that they'll tell you. And I think that's worth the trip in itself to get to know some of the people, and it makes the art that you purchase that much more interesting because you had a conversation about it.
What's that connection and to what Disney is rooted in, which is the artist.
Right.
And there's even some opportunities to have an animation academy, which we'll get to in a little bit, but kind of just dates. If you're going down in January, February, specifically this year will be January 13th to February 20th at Epcot. Most of the things seem to take place in World Showcase, but it is inclusive of the rest of the park. Is that right,
Sam? It is. Most of the front of Epcot is still behind construction walls, but yes, it is. They are once again using construction walls for part of the displays of artwork, although they have moved quite a few things into the area near Test Track. That seems to be a spot where they have the new booths, right? That's where the Taste Kitchen was for a food and wine festival. And they had some holiday stuff there. And now this is the Moderna or the modern cuisine they moved in by Test Track.
And that makes sense. You have more guests going over in that direction for Guardians versus before when Ellen's was really not a big audience pull. And then it was under construction for many years.
For a long time, yeah.
Well, one of the main attractions of Festival of the Arts is the Disney on Broadway.
And the concert series, yes. That's the wrap the day up with the Disney on Broadway spectacle.
I was excited to see them bringing back the dining packages. We didn't see some of that during COVID.
And yes, the dining, the preferred seating with the dining package, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the shows are 5:30, 6:45, and 8 o'clock every day during the festival at the American Garden Theater, so back by the American Pavilion. And Sam, did you get to see anyone perform or recognize anyone that you were hoping to catch?
I did. I got to see Carol Lindsay and Kevin Massey, that is from Newsies and Tarzan, who I learned were husband and wife, and I did not know that. So actually, I have over at Sam's Lizzie Dyer YouTube channel, I have their whole show is going to go up there tomorrow. And then the day after that, because what they're doing is flip-flopping for a week. So they have a pair that performs one day, and then it's a second pair, and then it goes back to the first pair. So they're back
and forth. Oh, an A-B rotation. Okay.
It was an A-B type of a rotation for 7 days. And the next one was Adam Jacobson, Aaron Jacobs, who are brother and sister, both performed in Aladdin, which was kind of cool. And they always have the last weekend is sort of the big show. So February 20th, they'll have four people performing as opposed to just two. A couple of them are familiar. Kissy Simmons from The Lion King. She'd been there before. Josh Strickland, Tarzan. Michael James Scott was Aladdin, a genie, and he's a great performer. And Ashley Brown, who was Mary Poppins on Broadway.
That'd be a great show.
Those are names that I know. And it's just fun to sort of listen to the Disney tunes. It's Broadway musical. They're bringing it there. And the performers really seem to have fun doing it.
Yeah, can't go wrong with those. Well, some of the other things that are going on during the festival, more like street performers, right, on the festival stage.
Yeah,
and
so there's a
where
festival
is that?
Stage. The festival stage is Port of Entry and World Travel, or the Duffy Store, which is now sort of the Marvel Store, and the Festival of Arts Merchandise Store. That's what I'll call those two right now. In between those is where the stage is. And that is the festival stage. It has rotating performances. That's where art-defying gravity, which is sort of the acrobats, performing art. Trevor Carlton is just amazing. I mean, this is the guy that brings up the blank canvas, puts on some music, starts to dance a little bit, and starts to splash some paint around. And I mean, splash paint around. Things are getting paint on them everywhere. including himself. And when he's done, it's Donald Duck or it's Figment or it's Mickey. And it's like, that is so cool. And then he walks it right up to his art gallery with all the others, which are for sale. And he'll talk to you about everything he's done and what goes into sort of doing that type of a show.
Oh, what a neat experience. We'll have to definitely check that one out.
If you're there for that, Trevor is worth it. He does it 2 times a day. They also have a jazz a saxophone player, a guitar player, and some others that are really interesting performing artists, right? That's part of art, is the performance art.
And are the shows typically more during the daytime then?
They tend to be during the daytime. I would say starting at 11 and maybe the last one's at 4. So okay. It's pretty much most of the day, and they rotate pretty frequently. So there's always something coming through there.
And that makes sense to have that during as your daytime experience, and then the Broadway, Disney on Broadway in the evening.
And Broadway's in the evening, yeah, exactly. And you also have some other things happening the whole time, like the chalk artists are on that causeway when you're walking past. So when you go around the construction walls and you come into the center and you're walking that bridge that goes over straight into that stage, that's where the chalk artists are. When it's not raining, by the way.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's on our list. We have a kiddo with us while we're traveling, and they have a kids art section, there it sounds like, on that same bridge. Yes. From 11 to 5 every day.
Yeah, and I spoke to a couple of the chalk artists themselves while they were drawing, and they find it very inspiring to go and watch the kids draw and help the kids draw. And there's some techniques to chalk art that I didn't know about that I learned just listening to them. And by the way, I'll edit some videos and have those up on Sam's Diary too. But just the way that they kind of create with the chalk and then rub their hands to create the canvas that they then draw on. So they don't just draw on the concrete, they're rubbing chalk on it and then smoothing it out, and then they draw on top of that. And I just thought that was fascinating. And when you watch them do it, you realize how cool it is. And then I saw one of them go over and show one of the kids how to do that. And it was like a light went off for the kid. He's like, oh, this is so cool. So I can make this and then draw on top of it.
Well, and the different kind of three-dimensional, the depth perspective and the ratio of size and things like that, which Disney uses all the time for us in real life.
That's right.
With the buildings, the right. Perspective. But they do it in this, you know, little square or, you know, 5 foot by 5 foot space. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's science and art all together.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I found, and by the way, the best place to find the performing artists is in the app. So back to the app that we always talk about. And I don't know if you don't know this, if you hit the little button on the bottom, it brings up a map. And by default, it goes to, it's a little pin on the bottom. By default, it goes to wait times. But if you click that, go to entertainment, it will show you different locations where there's entertainment. And if you click on that stage, it will show you who's there and when they're there. And that's changing.
That's a great tip for a festival. Yeah.
There was, I just happened to find a picture of the schedule that I took, but basically it started at 12:15 with that performing artists. Then there was a couple of musicians and ended up at 5:20. So it was all day from 12:15 to 5:20, something going on. And they're back to back. Like you say, it's funny because they play the, oh, thank you for attending. Enjoy your day at Festival of Arts. And then a minute later, in 5 minutes, our next performer is going to, and it's like, okay, yeah, you can hang out right there.
Well, that's why, you know, as nerds, we love going back because it's different every time. There's something new that you can experience, whether it's meeting an artist and talking about the inspiration or learning how to draw chalk or trying a new food, which, speaking of food, the Festival of the Arts is like any festival at Epcot. It is based in food, right?
That's exactly right.
So did you see anything delicious, try anything delicious?
So I tried something. So I'm going to go right back to brand new this year, Figment's Inspiration Station at the Odyssey. So this is the Odyssey, and I think everybody knows where that is. It's where the Epcot experience was. They've completely taken the Epcot experience out and replaced it with a whole bunch of Figment stuff. And when I say Figment stuff, there's an original Figment from the attraction inside there, which is really cool. There is food in there There is merchandise in there. There are popcorn buckets in there. In fact, this is where you're going to pick it up. For anyone that is old school, remembers the Image Works, which was upstairs at the Imagination Pavilion. Inside of the Image Works, they had these huge tables that had the pins that you sort of press your hands against. You've probably seen these as a kid. You push your hand against it. These were in the Image Works, and they brought them out and they put them there. And when people recognize what they are, it is absolutely amazing. And I think people just love that, including myself. They also
it's just, really you good. Have to do it. It's something compelling about having to go up and touch it and see what you can move.
You go right over there, you touch it, you see what you can move. If you happen to experience those in the past, you remember what it was like to experience those things. It was impressive for certain. There's also some really good food. In fact, they have a rainbow beer flight. How about that? It is a beer flight, and the beers are all different colors, and it makes a rainbow. One is a green with envy blonde ale. One is a blue butterfly lager, and one is a blackberry Midwest fruit tart.
A sour. Oh, those all sound good.
I didn't like the sour myself. The other ones are okay. There's also a cider flight that's different colors. One's black cherry, one's blood orange, and one's passion fruit. Interesting.
And some of the other food items here are very colorful as well. Maybe some watermelon?
They are. So that is the fruit pizza. That is a slice of watermelon with compressed cantaloupe, berries, and a berry balsamic. So you eat it just like a piece of pizza. And what looks like cheese is white chocolate.
Okay.
Not bad. There's also a popped art. I don't want to say popped art, but that's what it looks like. But it's popped art, and that's essentially a sugar cookie with blueberry filling. Then we have the two Figment classics here. One is the grape smoothie. Now, that glass that it comes in is a souvenir glass. It's got Figment, the front of him and the back of him. It's not very hefty. It's sort of a lesser plastic, so I wouldn't buy it for the cup. But the grape smoothie inside of it is really good. And by the way, the Figment Inspiration Station, all of the food in that smoothie is non-alcoholic. It's supposed to be kid-friendly stuff, which it is. So you got the grape smoothie, and you also have the rainbow cake behind it. The rainbow cake was really good. But here's what I want to get to. On top of both of these, those are freeze-dried Skittles.
Wow.
Now,
I've never had that before.
I didn't know I needed this until I had this. Because if you look at them closely, they sort of have this white inside of it, like it popped, like a piece of popcorn.
And now, it's like puffed Skittles.
Yes, it's like poof. But you would expect the Skittle to be chewy, but it's not. It's got the consistency of popcorn and the flavor of a Skittle. And I had no idea I needed this, but it was the coolest thing here. And it comes on top of the shake, and it comes on top of the cake, the rainbow cake. I definitely would recommend the rainbow cake. It was really good.
The cake and the Figment glass with the grape smoothie just scream Instagram, like, but need to do. Photo worthy. You have to have a picture of it everywhere. It's really
they
neat.
They do. Really cool stuff. There were also a ton of other artful plates. This was new this year. There was, it's called the Angry Crab. That is a soft-shelled crab. That's at that place up by Test Track. I did not have the opportunity to try this, but I probably would have. The deconstructed dish is always one that's very popular. The deconstructed BLT, where they basically take what you would think is a traditional BLT, but it looks completely different and tastes like what it should.
I've had that in years past, but it was the Reuben, the deconstructed Reuben, and that was very tasty.
Yep. This, there was a, oh, and I'm flipping through my little guidebook here. You have to get a guidebook when you're here because it's going to have all the details. And by the way,
I'm so glad they have the guidebooks and they haven't tried to put this on the app as the only method of getting
it. I am with you. And there is also a colorful cuisine, which is a, you know, buy buy four of these things, get a completer, which is a gift of some sort. I'm not sure what the gift was, but he didn't get there, but really cool. The corner of the book, by the way, when you get there, is a flip book, and it's Figment. But there's a flip book in the very corner of it that is Figment coloring himself. It was kind of cool.
That's very fitting for the theme of Festival.
Exactly. Another new spot that they had there featured a compressed watermelon, which is served to look like tuna.
They have a big theme with watermelon this year.
They sure do, yes. And this was in France. Also popular was a watermelon, whatever it's called in France, and it's not France, whatever it is. It was a watermelon martini of sorts, which a lot of people thought was very good. It didn't look all that. I was okay with it. But again, like you said, watermelon.
Right. And France is known for their icy drinks, usually. They usually have some sort of slushy, alcoholic slushy or whatnot. I'm assuming that watermelon one could be alcoholic or non-alcoholic.
I think it was alcoholic. Yes. But awesome. Look, I it's a festival in January. They call them the studios, the food studios. They give these different names based on the festival, right? These are the food studios. It's all about the art. It's all about the display, what you see when you get it. They're very artistically put together. The rainbow cake, looks amazing. All of these dishes just are very Instagrammable, as you put it.
And there's more than just food and Disney on Broadway and the festival stage. There's also the Animation Academy session over at the American Gardens Theater from 12:30 to 1:30 daily. Did you see that, Sam, or partake?
I did not partake this time. I have seen it in the past, but think back to what used to happen at Hollywood Studios when they had the Animation Academy. Very similar. There's and you're doing it inside the American Gardens Theater. So there's a lot of people, but you get to draw whatever it is that they're going through.
And there's some noteworthy artists who are going to be there teaching the class. So look at the schedule on the Disney page, and hopefully you'll be able to grab one of those sessions. I'm a terrible drawer, but maybe they'd have a chance to help me out.
My kids do so much better than me.
What I think I might have a chance at succeeding is the paint by numbers mural.
Yes.
At the expression section booth from 11 to 5 every day, where they're going to give me some paint and a paintbrush, right? And I can paint a part of a mural. What did that look like, and where is that?
Yeah, so this is on, I don't know how best to say it. It's on the other side of the construction walls. So it is. When you come in the front, you got to go around, right? You're either going to go to the right-hand side and go past, which, by the way, there are some interesting views into the construction that's happening at Dreamers Point and Moana Journey of the Water. Those are the two things left behind the construction walls. When you come in, if you go to the right, you're going to go past Nemo, go past the land, come back through Figment. I find myself going to the left because I'm usually going to Guardians, and I want to go through the Connections Cafe, and I want to go through the store, see what's new. There's some Figment merchandise in there. Lots of Epcot 40 merchandise. It's sort of interesting because, like we talked last time, we're at a crossroads of Walt Disney World 50th anniversary merchandise, Epcot 40 merchandise, Disney 100 merchandise, and Festival of Arts merchandise are all in different racks in that store at the same time. And it's just interesting to look through those and go, wow, this is a time capsule with all of those different things available at the same time. But either way, when you come across either of those, when you come back into the point where those meet together, that's where the inspiration mural is. And that first booth walking towards that stage we talked about on the right-hand side is where you pick up your paintbrush. It's where they'll give you, you pick your color, they'll give you the numbers, and you get in the line to go through that. They're doing four different murals this year, not just one. I think it's been that popular that they've been able to do multiples. And I think they have enough construction wall that they can do more than one. So they're covering the construction walls is what they're doing.
That's perfectly fitting with the theme. It's something free to do at the parks that you can't do, usually.
It absolutely is.
Like many of the festivals, there are also some special photo ops around Epcot.
Yes.
Did you find any good ones?
There are the photo ops that had been there previously were there, including like Skull Rock, and the one back in America where you step into the painting with some photo pass photographers there. They also had some good overlays to the magic shots that they've had in the past. So if you have photo pass and you do the tiny world or the one that zooms in or out on you, they've put some Festival of Arts stuff around it. So they're timestamping it, Festival of Arts with some paintbrushes and things like that. There are also a couple of photo ops leaving, and we got to talk about this, leaving that are, you know, hold your brush and look up for the magic shot. And the magic shot is Figment up above you, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
And, you know, I have to bring up that for the 50th anniversary, we got those beacons of each park, the icons, right? And Spaceship Earth has all of those LED balls, spotlights on it. And every festival, they're debuting a new nighttime sequence. And for the Festival of Arts, it is ride audio from the original Journey into Imagination. So it was Figment and Dreamfinder that were talking and the lights were to them. And it was really good. Very nicely done.
Oh, that's a nice homage to Figment.
Absolutely.
And he is the host, the special guest of Festival of the Arts, and he has been.
He has been, yeah. Festival of Arts seems to be Figment's show. Absolutely. He's on all the merch. He's everywhere. And it's just like Food and Wine sort of goes to Remy, and Flower and Garden goes more to Minnie, although he's there. Minnie Mouse gets a lot of Flower and Garden. So does Spike the Bee gets a lot of Flower and Garden. And Christmas is like Chip and Dale, isn't it?
Well, and Figment, another Figment thing that he has during this festival is that Figment scavenger hunt.
Yes,
where
Brush
you
with
can
the
help him.
Yep.
Yeah, you can help him learn about art for $9.99.
Less an AP discount if you have an annual pass. But
even better.
Yes, go and kids can find where Figment is part of the art. Put the sticker on the country, and your completer is a small sculpture of Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, or Figment with the paintbrush and some paint that you can paint at home.
And you can buy that map and sticker at the Port of Entry and World Traveler and the Creation Shop. And that, they've done that before in the past, that scavenger hunt, and they're usually fun for the kids.
Yeah,
as the adults
fun.
Are
the
sampling
like
some things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Help find Figment. Was anything else that we missed of Festival of the Arts or from your trip?
Not Festival of the Arts, but something I wanted to do and we were going to do, but just so many other things came up. DuckTales World Showcase Adventure is live. And I did not
fun.
Get to do that. I it's in the Play Disney Parks app. So we went into the app and I went to see all the different countries that were listed, but I just never had the opportunity to do it. Wanted to do it with my son, but we just ended up doing something else. But one of those
things. And so this is the replacement to Phineas and Ferb, which was the replacement to Kim Possible.
Kim Possible. That is correct.
Okay.
It looks like the same countries. And I wanted to see the props because there were,
right.
I wanted to see what they changed, what they didn't change. I've seen some pictures of them, but I wanted to do it. Didn't have time to, but if you have kids, you got that, DuckTales World Showcase Adventure. They also have the KidCot Adventure that's on the My Disney Experience app. There's a puzzle piece at each of the KidCots that you scan and that puzzle piece. And then you end up putting them all together within the app. Didn't have an opportunity to really play with that.
Okay. Well, another great free option for
parents
to have for their kids. Make sure you have an extra battery pack. We learned that the first time that we did the Phineas and Ferb one.
This is true.
And but still fun to as you're going into those countries to have them look for the clues and find, I'm assuming, the three, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yep. That's I'm assuming too.
Assuming
I don't
now.
Know. I
yep.
did not.
And
I see
figure
Scrooge
out the mystery.
On the art. I don't know. Maybe Scrooge is looking for money. I don't know.
Maybe, man. Yeah, maybe
no
you're
idea.
Looking for something else.
I have no idea. It's I love Festival of Arts. It's a great addition for that after the marathon, before Flower and Garden Festival. You mentioned that this goes
February
the 20th. The Flower and Garden Festival starts on March the 1st. So that's a week later. So that's your 1 week between festivals. That's all they need to do it. So you got that Monday, the 20th, is when you get the big Josh Strickland and Kissy Simmons and all those guys performing. And that's on a Monday. And the following Wednesday, we're going to be talking Flower and Garden Festival. Wow.
And I think February 20th, isn't that the weekend for half marathon? Which would make sense. They started with a marathon and with a half marathon.
That seems that way, spring. Yeah.
Well, listeners, what did we miss about Festival of the Arts?
I'm sure we missed stuff.
Have you done the new Huey, Dewey, and Louie hunt?
I'd love to know that.
Or questions about Genie Plus that we did not get to. Maybe you're still confused like we are. Oh, we'll take tips.
And by the way, it's January 2023, and everything I just said might be completely wrong in April of 2023, the way this is going.
We won't hold it against you, Sam.
So, good to be here, Melissa. Thank you.
Jimmy, how does everyone get a hold of us?
Where has he been?
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Well, for Sam, this is Melissa, and thanks for joining us at the Disney Nerds Podcast. TTFM, ta-ta for now.
Kongaloosh.
There you go. Done. We made it.
We made it.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in